Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
How contentious that bet was would have paid you with crumpled up dollar bills. I would have crumbled them all up individually and like left them in your spot.
Okay, I'm going to give you the $50 out of here for the golf bet.
Oh my God.
Hold this.
$50, I forgot all about it. The $50?
Yeah.
Great. What are you doing?
Taking off my shoe. I got money in the shoe.
What?
And the Bulldog.
Used to do that with stuff at the pizza place. Like, we used to just, in front of the guy, like, pull the 20 out of your wallet, put it under your shirt and rub your underarm with it, and then give it to him.
There you go. Take the $50.
No, I don't want
Take the $50.
I'd really rather not. I don't want that $50 from your sweaty, disgusting sock and sneaker.
This is the payoff.
I don't want that $50. Give me a clean $50.
This is the $50.
I'm not touching that $50.
Take
I don't want
the $50.
No.
They're not paying you.
What?
I'm not paying you.
You owe me $50.
What is this? This is $50.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome to our Friday Dunn Tire Roundtable. We don't have Sal today. He's off. We do have Bulldog and Joe. And I'm like, Joe, just turn on that hot mic, right?
Just leave it on.
Just leave it on, right, Bulldog? I'm facing the camera. Like, normally if I'm facing Joe, it's like this. This is how I sit most of the time. And, you know, we have all kinds of hand signals. Like, I'm a third base coach. But here, Joe is on the team. I mean, he's been a guest today. He was on the show before ours, and he'll be on after us, I assume.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what's left. He's his own Sports Thunder.
Sneaky Joe Sports Thunder.
He is a walking Sports Thunder. So
does Louis have to come back for the nightcap, or was he just noon to three?
No, he doesn't. Although I'm thinking about texting him because I don't know. I might run out of new material here at some point. So
you think?
Yeah.
Well, you've already done today thinking of quarterbacks on new teams. You could do running backs.
Running backs on new teams. All right. Where's Aaron Jones land for 2021?
Oh, running backs is actually tough, right? Because you have, I just looked at Joe. You have a lot of accomplished. Is Mixon? No, he got paid. Mixon got paid.
A lot of the guys got paid. Cook got paid. Kamara got paid. Henry, Mixon. But Jones might be the only big name that didn't.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Kareem Hunt even got paid.
At 7. Bulldog, no Bills game, of course. But let's just spend some time on taking stock of where they are in the picture here for this year and then beyond. I mean, it's obviously been a good season for them. What?
Fred is in the picture.
Can you look at the screen? Fred,
but Mike does not have a screen.
Fred, Mike doesn't have the three
I
shots.
Do, but I'm...
Fred just walked up.
Fred
wants to talk about what he's going to do this weekend with no Bills game.
What are all those, like albums?
Are albums. Yeah.
Wow, we have a lot.
On my right, yeah. Well, one thing that I know we were wondering about, and I'm pretty sure I've got this right, we're not getting the Miami game. it's a Fox doubleheader weekend, so the late window is it might be the Packers-Colts game,
maybe.
I think we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to, you know... Whatever. If you have the Sunday ticket, you're equipped to do that. You can do it that way. Red zone, you know, whatever. That's one thing that I know is off the table for folks locally who are just depending on, you know, Channel 4. I will saddle up and ride all day Sunday and just watch. You know, I'm going to miss not seeing that Miami game. It's the most, you know, interesting to Bills fans, I think, game of the weekend. But I'm not sure where you were going there. Fred interrupted us. So I just started talking about what's on this weekend. But
thinking about, we know that they've had a good season. Like last year, they have been looking playoff bound almost, you know, from the beginning, all season. another, you know, start where they won their first few games like last year, and they've looked pretty comfortable in that way. And really, most of the time we've spent talking, it's been about what we think their chances are once they get there. Mm-hmm. And this year is different than last year in that last year happened, so now it won't feel quite as satisfying to just get in. I mean, it's sort of the expectation, at least by now, this year. So when you think about the Bills, how do you think, not knowing, of course, if they'll make it even or who they'll play, but how good are they in comparison with other AFC playoff teams?
I feel still the way I felt after the Seattle game, which was to me still a really impressive win, a really great job by their offense. And really, I liked their defense a lot that day too. And I came away from that game feeling like they could get in the ring and throw with anybody in the league. And now what is that to say, right? I mean, they're a contender for a division title. They're you know, look like a pretty sure bet to make the playoffs, and the league is pretty close. But I guess what I'm saying is I think that I would give them a chance to beat Kansas City if that's where they end up. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have to win a game or two, we'll see, to get to Kansas City. But, you know, you never know. I think what I saw them do on offense against Seattle especially, and I know that's a weak defense, but I feel like that game, I will carry that game through, you know, unless the rest of this season just really something unforeseen happens here, like they really bottom out on offense and just get stuck in the mud or something. I'm going to feel like they can get there and they'll be live when they get there. You know, I think at this point it would be a colossal collapse if they failed to make the playoffs at all, and a minor upset if they don't win the division, because, you know, it's close now. It could be tied after, you know, by 7:30 or so on Sunday night with Miami. So, but they had a nice lead there, and I didn't really see Miami coming, so I still want to say I would be surprised if they didn't win the division.
Joe?
That's where I'm at, too. It would take, what, 500 football the rest of the way with the Dolphins putting together a serious run? Yeah, they have three easy opponents coming up. They do have the Bills and Chiefs left on their schedule, and if that Bills game matters, them being the home team, they'll be favored for sure, I would think, in that game. So the math to me checks out for the Bills, and I just feel like I'm more sure that the Bills are going to be this consistent than Miami just based on pass efficiency. Like, Tua's been good through three games, but I wouldn't want to call him as good as the other two rookies in Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert. So I'm not saying he can't get there, and if he does, then I think I'm definitely taking them seriously. But I don't know. It'll look like a better and better case that they have a shot at the division as they go through those easy games if they take care of business. But if the Bills keep throwing the ball like this, I don't see them playing bad enough to let the Dolphins in.
I think of that Seattle game as an extreme case of a team just inept when it came to defending them. I mean, the Bills have had plenty of good days this year, but the Cardinal game is more like it to me, what I would think the playoffs will look like. Maybe at best, depending on who the opponent is. I mean, it's not like Arizona is just amazing on defense. I think the Seattle game was really strange in how really easy everything came, and the Seahawks defensively looked like they'd never heard of the Bills. Like, they just could not do anything to stop them for most of that game. So I think they'll have easily tougher challenges than that down the stretch and into the playoffs. I think one thing about the Dolphins is it's really an interesting puzzle, as we've talked about all week, to try to figure out how sustainable their winning is, because they're not throwing the ball to the point about the Bills passing. Like, they don't look like that yet. I feel like that quarterback, they're in great hands with him, I think. And what the Bills have is that quality and depth at wide receiver. That's really the best thing about the Bills, you know, in terms of their personnel, is Diggs, Brown, Beasley, and then to Davis. And the Dolphins have lost Preston Williams, who Tua seemed to find. He was like his early favorite there in that passing game. Gesicki is not Dawson Knox for production, but he's really hit or miss. I mean, against the Bills, he had a huge game, and really since then, it's almost never happened. Parker is good, and Jakeem Grant, you know, like, they're not fully developed in that area. So I think the Bills have a big advantage there.
Yeah, I mean, and they really shouldn't be. You know, that's a part of the reason why I still say I think it would be at least an upset if the Bills don't hold on and win the division, because it can happen, of course. But I think Miami has, you know, they've got a big off season ahead of them. They'll have a lot of picks, and they can do some really interesting things. I mean, I don't know, maybe they can make some version of the Diggs trade if they're that sold on Tua after these, whatever it'll be, 9 or 10 games that he ends up playing for them. You know, they can use some of that draft capital to go get a proven 25-year-old player who's already, you know, just for some reason a team wants to start over at receiver or whatever. So, you know, maybe they can do that. I think they'll have made great progress to be a playoff team if they end up being a playoff team. I just don't think they're ready to go throw with, like, I think they get on the field with Kansas City, and I don't think they really should be able to keep up. And I think the Bills have shown enough to me offensively that I would think they at least have a decent chance of keeping up in a game like that. If it gets to like a, you know, like a 35-33 type game, I think the Bills can play with Kansas City in that game, and I don't think Miami really is ready to do that yet.
Yeah, it's a lot about how they're winning. The Bills are doing it with volume passing, and they're sixth, I think, in yards per attempt this year. Miami is 17th. So in terms of the bigger picture, not just the division, like what happens once you get to the playoffs if you do. Like right now, I'm way more confident the Bills can keep up with the Chiefs offense than I am Miami. And isn't that what we're all – isn't that what everybody's trying to do right now, is just knock off the Chiefs? Like, who's the most likely to do that? And, I mean, I probably would put Pittsburgh ahead of the Bills, but Miami, to me, wouldn't be up there if I'm thinking of teams in the conference that can knock them off. It's the Steelers, and then it might be the Ravens and Bills right after that. I just don't think Miami's in that category yet.
Kansas City's number one. They're not number one in record. They could end up as the 2 seed. That's where they're at now. And that would be interesting to look at when you consider what the Bills are in the playoffs. I think I'd rather have to go to Pittsburgh than to Kansas City. Like the Steelers are good, but they're not the Chiefs, are they?
I don't think so. No. I mean, Roethlisberger is very different style-wise, but I think he's more stationary. I think you can get at him. He's big. He's hard to bring down, but he's just not, his mobility is not good anymore because of the injuries over the career, and even just this year he's had injuries, I think, to both knees recently. So, like, I feel like, yeah, I've got a better chance. I think I respect their defense a lot, but yeah, no, I think Kansas City is still like the big team, and if they don't end up with the one, that'll be pretty interesting to see how that all shakes out. They'll have to play an extra game.
Right. 9 games each. The Steelers have scored only 15 fewer points than the Chiefs, and they are loaded at receiver again. They just keep finding these young receivers to plug in, and they're just excellent. You have 6 teams right now in the AFC that are 6-3. Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, they share the lead in the AFC South, and then Las Vegas. Is Baltimore, I think we always or usually would have said Baltimore is the best or would be the toughest team to beat from that group. Would we still?
I don't.
I think I would. I would say
I,
it.
Who are we talking about again?
The 6-3 teams. Right?
Yeah.
Six and three teams.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Of the 6-3 teams, yeah. I think they're more in that tier, and I think rightly so, than up with Kansas City and even Pittsburgh right now. But yeah, I think I think I have a harder time dealing with them than Cleveland, Miami, and Oakland, and that group. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Lamar Jackson, whatever struggles he's having, is still, you know, you get on the field with him, he's the best player on the field. He's the fastest player. He's the best runner on the field. That's always going to be tougher to deal with than any of the other guys you'd have to play with those other teams, I think.
I know you've said a couple of times, like, you wouldn't want to have to be the team playing them, partly because of the psychological aspect of it,
yeah,
because the Ravens have lost in the playoffs like they have. They are almost definitely going on the road now in the first round if they make it. I think they probably do. Their schedule lightens up, and so they could be an 11-5 or even a 12-4, maybe a 5 seed in the AFC. And then, you know, if the Bills end up as the 4, there's your game. If the Bills get to 3 ahead of the AFC South team, then you would, of course, avoid Baltimore there. But the pressure is even more on them, of course, than the Bills for winning in the playoffs this year. They kind of need to do it. And yep. It looks right now like they're going to have to go to a division winner. And they're not in the NFC where one of the division winners will be, you know, cake, right? So
you want to be the 5 seed in the NFC.
Yes, you'd rather be the 5 than maybe the 3, arguably, in the NFC. So that's, you know, probably a wild card team. This is your group here. These 6-3 teams, this is your wild card group. One of those teams will win the AFC South, and one more of them will not make it. Or maybe two more of them will not make it. But Raiders, Browns, Ravens, Colts, Titans, Dolphins, that's your wild card group, unless it's the Bills and the Dolphins trade places. So it's a good group to talk about, and who knows? Like, the Browns would not be anybody's choice for the best team in that group, but I don't know. I don't hate them. Their point differential is bad, by the way. Joe's been big on point differential lately. The Bills being at plus 7.
Joe has?
Yep.
Yes, that
That's
guy
why
right
he
there.
Keeps coming up. He keeps making you bring it up. I
I do like it, yes. Joe's been sort of obsessed.
While, yeah.
Cleveland is minus 28 through 9 games.
Mostly because the 2 games they played against the Ravens and Steelers, they got, I mean, just beat down.
Yep.
38-6 maybe in both of them.
Pretty much.
So,
and they have a loss to the Raiders at home that was closer.
You guys, Ravens would be my top team in the 6-3 teams. I think they'd be last for me.
Rather play the Browns and the Raiders.
Yes, I would say that.
Yeah, me too.
Raiders and Chiefs on Sunday night in Vegas. The Browns have the Eagles this week. Baltimore has Tennessee at home. And they're still getting the credit from the odds makers, the Ravens. I know you know this, Bulldog, because we have picks later that will not be televised. But 6.5 is the line. It's been the line on Baltimore against a Titans team that has the same record. So you still see, even though they lost to New England, they were a 7-point favorite at New England as well and got beat outright. You still see the Ravens getting that sort of respect from the numbers is really what that is.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give it away on the televised portion of our broadcast, but that game is of interest over here for the pick segment coming up. Yeah.
I think it should be. I'm interested in it. We are going forward here with our Dunn Tire Roundtable on this Friday afternoon. Sal Capaccio is off today with the Bills on bye. We'll be back again next Friday, a regular thing through the rest of the season. And we'll have the Bills and the Chargers to talk about next Friday. We have a game plan segment to talk about and also around the conference. And we kind of did one of those. And the other one, we'll have to get a little bit creative. But that's usually not, you know, right, beyond us to do. So we will do that. And also, let's talk some more about the idea that we have spent most of today's show on. Next season, quarterbacks and new possible destinations for them, teams that might be in the market. The 2 New York teams are really interesting for this. New England will be as well. And there was one point brought up on Twitter to me when we were talking about Philadelphia as a possibility there. I mean, Carson Wentz is signed for big money for a long time, but what chance might there be as he struggles that the Eagles would look to someone else? And there was a point there pertinent to the Bills that we can get into as well.
Okay.
So let's take a break and then continue the Dunn Tire Friday Roundtable. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
He's just a dependable player who has really good instincts. He works extremely hard in practice, and that's the timing and the execution that you need between a quarterback and a receiver. You can go out there and talk and play video games all you want, but you need to do it on a practice field. And he goes, he works at it one-on-one as an individual, and if it's not exactly right with him and Josh, he does it again. He's a very good leader for us. He's smart. We try to use him in a lot of different roles and move him to different spots. He made a number of good plays for us yesterday.
Brian Daboll speaking, it would seem, about Stephon Diggs. The Bills are off this week, but we are not. Sal is, but, you know, Good for him, I say. I'm not here to argue with him or put him down. Right? Good for him.
Mike, sure. Gotta get that time off when you get that time off, man.
Gotta get it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. It's our regular Friday Dun Tire Roundtable here on WGR and streaming video live on Facebook. So we were talking earlier, an idea from Joe and his brother Louie when they were on before us today about teams that they might predict or anybody might predict will need new quarterbacks next year. And, you know, some obvious names and some interesting teams. Philadelphia was not on that list. I brought them up as we were talking about it. Carson Wentz has an immovable contract, it would seem, at least next year. But he's not playing well, and they're not winning, even though they're in a division where that record can lead the division. And so I think it's not out of the realm to think someone else will be there next year, at least to sort of be an alternative to Wentz if they can't get right. It's a long ways off. And it was mentioned to me on Twitter, the cautionary tale there in the Eagles case is the fact that they paid him so much so soon. And the Rams, although the Rams are doing well this year, the Rams are kind of this as well. You know, even so are the Chiefs and the Texans, who are having very different seasons. In terms of Josh Allen, are we going to want that to happen next year? I mean, pick a scenario this year for this Bills team that might seem the most likely. You know, a playoff appearance, maybe one win, I think is probably the likeliest. Are we going to want to see them? We, you know, collectively going to want to see them give Allen that contract when there are these examples of players who, I mean, that's a real problem if the guy isn't playing up to that contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think so. I mean, it provided I get what do we got? Six more games left. Like, I feel like through 10 games, I'm pretty comfortable giving him the contract. Like, there's been enough good games there. And I even really liked him in Arizona, despite the two picks. I like that he found a way to still make the plays on that final drive that, you know, could have won the game for them. Despite sort of, you know, I think I said the lug nuts were coming a little bit loose in parts of that game. But that didn't lead to a disaster. So I thought that was a very good sign. So that I'm still seeing things that push me further and further to do it. You're never going to know for sure. It is still sports, and a lot of stuff can happen. I mean, Wentz has had a lot of injuries. I don't know if any part of what you're seeing in his poor play is due to, you know, some physical or even, you know, mental, you know, difficulty that he's had because of the injuries that he's experienced. But, I mean, you can never be positive, but I wouldn't let guys that have fallen apart or, you know, that might be a little strong, after getting the money, stop me from doing it. I mean, there's plenty of examples of guys who track well and get their money and keep going and you don't regret it. So, I mean, that's the business. You're going to have to deal with it. And if it ends up being regrettable, then, you know, then we're where the Eagles are. And it's not where you want to be, but it can't stop me from doing it. I can't be afraid of failure there. I mean, if he earns that contract, then that's it. That's the price of doing business in the NFL.
Wouldn't seem, well, I don't know. I don't have to put this in any kind of terms. I mean, I think that if it were to not drag out, but if it were to play out, you know, beyond the beginning of next season into even perhaps after next season, you know, you'd still have the rights to Josh Allen. And I think you'd still have probably, at least that's where it stands right now, a lot of confidence that he would want you back. I mean, that we have heard him talk like that. The Oshai fundraising effort, you know, one thing he said about that was, I don't want to leave, you know, and I don't want to assume that that's something that enters into contract negotiations, but you just have to feel like he's happy where he is.
Yeah.
And his team is winning, Joe. Like, Diggs, so Allen on the deal he is helps avail the Bills to a player like Diggs, maybe in the future when Allen is making, if this is what happens, four times or five times more money, whatever he ends up at, would it be higher? Then instead you're looking at a rookie. You're like looking at Justin Jefferson instead of instead of Diggs, and maybe that's not so bad.
And I've wondered that with their other two receivers already, that they've got John Brown and Cole Beasley, who are both playing great when they're healthy, at 30 years old and on contracts where...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After this year, if they wanted to move on for a younger guy, or if they needed to in order to pay Allen, that they would be able to do that. Diggs is on such an affordable contract that, I mean, $14 million is the cap hit this year, and then it's $11 for the next 3 years thereafter. So to have him on that affordable contract is as good as you're going to get. I don't know if that's going to stay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, like that's probably going to change. Like,
yeah,
yeah, right?
Maybe even after this year.
You're probably going to have to pay him. If he leads the league in targets and receptions and yards, which is what he's doing after 10 games here, they're going to come looking, I would think. So you may be in a position to pay your number one receiver and Allen.
And that's most of your – that's a ton of your cap space right now, if not all of it.
Yeah.
So,
and Beasley and Brown are both up after another season, right? They both signed 3-year deals.
Yes.
So they've got one more year after this. You're saying they could get out of that cheaply, right?
If they wanted to that quickly, right. I don't know if they would want to or need to. Like, they don't have – again, they don't have to pay Allen this offseason. Like, they might. They might want to. But they don't have to do it. Yeah, $1 million is the dead cap number for John Brown, at least. Off the top of my head there.
This is not something by bringing it up that I'm predicting, but when you think about it, and we've talked a lot about it, this potential contract for him, what would change it? You know, if the Bills went all the way this year, it would change the numbers, probably. But I think right now we're all kind of in at a point where we think, you know, his getting that contract is likely. So if it went the other way, like if the Bills stumbled here and even missed the playoffs, I mean, if they can't sort of freeze out the Dolphins, then they're at a little bit of risk because of the number of teams in the AFC that are at about the same record. It's going to be important to do that, probably. If not then if that's what happens, we're in a different place with Allen, perhaps. You know, you could still end up at, well, did you see the first half? Did you see, you know, these numbers, throw against Arizona, but for the Hail Mary, these kinds of things. So, I mean, I think that's all pretty sturdy, the outlook for him here.
I think it's pretty sturdy, but the scenario you're introducing there, like they fall off enough, and again, I want to couple their performance falling off with his performance falling off. I don't. If they were to like miss the playoffs here from the spot that they're in, I'm going to assume that he is a big part of the reason why, and I wouldn't be in a hurry to do it right then. Then I mean, these games will count towards that. When saying I feel really good about paying him, I'm assuming they get this thing home. You know that they don't. You know, miss out on the division or even a wild card because of all this traffic. If that were to happen, I would think his performance would be a big reason why, and then I would be asking myself, do I really want to do this now? I might want to wait because I can. I've got the fifth-year option, and so it's not like I have to do it now. But I think if they have the season that I'm expecting them to have here for the next six games, then I think that I would want to do it. But if they fall apart, I don't think I would be in a hurry to get into contract negotiations with him.
We talked about those 6-3 teams. The Browns will be interesting in this way this year. Like, what you think about what you just said about this, and then impart that over to the Browns. And like, a lot might be riding on what they're able to get done from here to the end of the season. Maybe everything for Mayfield. I mean, they've gotten to a point where, you know, they're not a great team, and it's more of a running team that's less dependent on his quarterback, but they are at 6-3, and especially for a franchise that's done no winning in forever, I think there's maybe a lot riding on what happens from here. And even the Ravens, I mean, Jackson had a stupendous season last year. This year has been less stupendous. I doubt there's much long-term concern about him, but, you know, we have this fabulous, famous class from the 2018 NFL draft, and we'll see what happens with all these guys. Rosen is kind of dead. Darnold could be on a new team, and then here we are with the other three.
I was, when we did this exercise earlier with my brother, I was fighting a little bit to have Cleveland considered for it, like that they might even move on from Mayfield as soon as next season. Like, I would think that's maybe more likely than the Eagles doing it. Maybe that's just because of the contract flexibility of Mayfield being on a rookie deal, but I mean, they are 6-3, but it's all running the football and defense. And he is almost the opposite of Sam Darnold, not maybe in terms of coaching, but when I think of the builds of the offense around Baker Mayfield, like, coming into the year, he had everything. He had two really good wide receivers. He had an improved offensive line, two amazing running backs, two good tight ends, a good defense, and, like, he's doing okay. He's averaging 180 yards a game. Like, if he's just going to be a game manager, I'm definitely not paying him. And given that Kevin Stefanski had Case Keenum as his quarterback 4 years ago and won 13 games, I don't know. They didn't draft him. I don't think they have to bring him back.
Interesting, yeah. If you're going to get that kind of production and you want to pay your quarterback, you'd better win a lot.
Right.
If you win a lot, then you'll do it. And you just wouldn't even worry about it.
What I guess for Cleveland there is something like what happened with the Bears this season, where they bring in like a Nick Foles type. He starts the year behind Mayfield, and then it's just if he has a bad game, a really bad game, then maybe we'll pull him. But we'll have another guy there just in case. They have Keenum now. I don't think that's what Keenum is, but maybe someone a little higher than that.
That contract stipulation makes it so interesting because, like, the Bears, we talked about them when they did this. They declined that option on Trubisky, and as I saw, essentially from that point forward, they were rooting against him.
Right.
So Foles was going to be their quarterback, if not immediately, soon, you know, kind of like Fitzpatrick's Dolphins. Like, eventually they're gonna do that because Trubisky doing well is really counterproductive to the Bears, and he sort of then, you know, would leave and they would lose him. So they don't want to have that happen. And that's where any of these teams like the Browns would be if that's the choice they made. So you don't want to end up there either.
Yeah, you don't. You do still have the franchise tag as protection there if you don't pick up that fifth-year option. So it's not like you're saying we're definitely done. It's definitely a middling sort of waffly move. But you do you still can buy yourself a little bit of time there. So there's some flexibility. I don't know. Maybe your boy Minshew should end up in Cleveland.
Maybe that's the answer there. I think that guy deserves to play.
There will be starting jobs available.
Terrible.
Yeah, there will, and they will own his rights. But I don't know. I think he's tradable. I think he's somebody that will get a chance somewhere else, Maybe you'll be on a new team and be a backup, but, you know, one hit away. Let's move to constructing the game plan brought to you by Admar Construction and Supplies. Equipment you need when you need it. Guys?
IPA and football.
Right. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. That's really all you need. Yeah. Or, you know, get some delivery and that's it.
Red zone. With two, maybe three screens going with Fantasy Gamecast,
right.
By the way, for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the red zone. I'm still on training wheels on red zone. And by that, I mean, I know how it works. I mean, I can turn it on. But I have a hard time. Sometimes they put the three games up there, mm-hmm. and they don't have the audio muted, and then the guy's talking too, and like all the play-by-play going on, and it's just I feel like someone's flashing strobe lights in my face.
Yes.
Sometimes when I'm gonna have a stroke. So be careful with red zone if you're not an experienced red zone viewer.
It's pretty manic. I don't like it. I would rather have one game on for more than like 30 seconds at a time and then just have my phone or my computer or whatever, and I'm tracking. I'm definitely doing that, number one. Yeah. I'd much rather go without the TV than the phone.
Last weekend, Sunday. I had with the Bills in the 4 o'clock window, and there wasn't that much action in the 1 o'clock window. But even when the Bills were playing, I had the game I wanted to watch on the TV, and then the red zone I had on my iPad without the volume on, and that was fantastic.
Yep.
That avoided all that cross audio and all that stuff, and I enjoyed that much more. So maybe that'll be my plan on Sunday.
I was going to say, without the audio component, like every Sunday for me, it's Bills game on the TV and then red zone on my computer screen. And without having the audio part, maybe that makes it easier.
We'll look more around the league. Week 11 here in the NFL. That's next. Our Duntire Friday Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe continues on Facebook Live and on WGR. Welcome back to the Duntire Roundtable on Facebook Live, WGR 550, and also here on, of course, WGR Sports Radio 550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. It's time now to dash around the league. Other big NFL stories this week brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. It's the bye week, so no Bills game. I feel like of any one football topic, we've spent by far most of our time this week on Miami. I'm not sure exactly if they're a story in the league. I mean, they are. The season they're having is a story in the league.
I think so, and going to Tua, despite Fitz playing pretty well, was a pretty bold move, and that's a story. And gets everybody's attention, and you know he even if he'd been playing right away, he'd be a big story in the league. I mean, he was a highly touted guy, and barely a year removed from a devastating injury, there was questions about whether he'd ever play again and how effective he'd be. So, I think you know we're fixated on him because they're closing on the Bills, but I think they're a valid, good story, big story in the league.
I think my favorite story in the league this week is how Chicago still ever gets into primetime.
They're the worst.
They are the worst. Why can't they ever be fun to watch? What is the hang-up?
Is there a Bears-Giants Monday night game coming up? Because it seems like something that would happen.
I feel like there are two, probably, coming up. Right. This week is a nice primetime schedule, including the game last night, which wasn't – I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't 45-42 or anything like that.
It never really blasted off, you know, like right. those Murray and Wilson both, like that's, you know, that's a head-to-head matchup in our fantasy league, the WGR fantasy league, and it was like 22-21, mm-hmm. I think were the scores for those two individuals through last night. So, and Murray had that shoulder thing early in the game that seemed like maybe that was hampering him somewhat. But, yeah, I think the rest of the primetime games do look good this weekend. I think the Saints, with what they're doing with Taysom Hill, is the big story today and will be a big story into the weekend. I mean, he is as divisive a character in the league as maybe there is right now. And a lot of that is probably fantasy generated. Like, he's on the field at the goal line. Where's Drew Brees? I need my touchdown passes or whatever. And he comes in and, what do you call it, vultures the touchdowns. Sure, you don't want that if you own Drew Brees or even Kamara, whatever, right? But then there's the question of, like, can he actually play quarterback? And they seem like they're going to take that out for a spin this weekend, and that might be must-see TV.
Yeah, good thought. That's definitely interesting. They have paid him, so it was interesting then and sort of helps justify this if it's what they do. And we'll see what he is. They're playing the Falcons, which is about as soft as it gets in the league. Hill over Jameis Winston, reportedly the plan for New Orleans. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll turn the cameras off and keep talking.
Sounds good.
All right.
Could we just keep doing this if we wanted? Like, who would stop us?
I would.
No, okay.
I think.
I meant we, like the three of us. But, you know, if one of us doesn't want to do it, then fine, turn it off.
You know. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. I haven't thought about it, really. The Dunn Tire Roundtable, Fridays 5 to 6 on WGR. Sal Capaccio rejoins us next week. Picks and a little bit more on Taysom Hill from a fantasy perspective when we come back here on WGR. Stay tuned.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.